The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk. Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
Yes, Alison Curtis is with me, presenter of Weekend Breakfast on Today FM, and Ger Gilroy from Off The Ball. So Alison, who's your winner of the week?
Have you covered this much on the show this week?
Well, Chloe, I don't know.
Chloe Coyce.
No, yeah. Talked about it here on Monday. Now, we didn't cover it on our show, but some shows did.
Yeah.
But for people who don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, so she's an influencer. She wasn't on my radar, to be honest, because she doesn't make quinoa recipes. She's not like super boring. Yeah.
Does she do gardening?
No, she's not on mine either. So she's young. But she told this this horrific story about basically being out with two others in Dublin City Centre one Friday night, and they did everything that, you know, you're supposed to do to be safe, to make sure everyone gets home. So the friend waited for her as Chloe went to the hotel. She waited before the taxi pulled away to make sure Chloe went into the hotel. Everything, like they were texting each other, all this kind of stuff. But as Chloe went into the hotel, a guy that they had clocked earlier in the evening outside the club just slid in, and there was no... Do you know this story, Jerry?
I watched the video last night.
Yeah, yeah. And so there's no security in the lobby. She gets into the elevator. He slides into the elevator as well. At this point, he's taken his belt off and is kind of holding it in a very... Well, it's just threatening to do that anyway. And then they get onto her floor. She goes left, was where her room was with her mom. There was only five, and the other one was like 20. Follows her as far as there, and then stops when she knocks on the door, and he realizes then that obviously someone else is in the room, so he's not going to just, you know, what you would fear would be, he's done this before, or attempted at least to do it before, and just shove himself into the room with her. So she told the story. It was about a 5-minute long video. It's definitely worth watching. She obviously doesn't name the hotel. She's leaving that in the hands of the law. She did record the individual. So basically, action's being taken right now. We don't know exactly, and she's keeping, rightfully so, she's not sharing that information. But what's coming out is just how terrifying that was. And no matter how careful you are, and again, that whole thing, it's like responsibility on the victim to be as careful as possible. So the reason why she's my winner is that she shared the story. She did it really, really well. It was really hard for her to do. And she even said afterwards, she's feeling worse as the time was going on. She started thinking about it more and more. But by sharing her story, people are kind of like, it's a grounding story to hear again. And, you know, call to action. There are a lot of hotels out there, and maybe some of them could up their security. Mm. And also just to be, you know, aware that these things are happening no matter what you do for preventative measures.
The hotel said that, oh yeah, we saw the guy coming in with you, but we thought he was your boyfriend.
Yes. So that's the other point she made, which I thought was really, really good. And she made this a couple of days later, which is, okay, even if that is the case, like there are single people going out and they are pulling people and bringing them back to hotel rooms. That happens. But get the details of every single resident that is staying, coming through those doors. And that should be a safety thing.
He slid in behind her. Like it wasn't, they clearly weren't together.
Yeah.
You know,
but nobody was present when they came in. It was watching back on the cameras, as far as I'm aware, on that.
Yeah.
So it's just really scary. And then lots of people coming up in her story going, should self-defense be an automatic thing that girls are taught in primary and secondary school? Like all of these things are now coming to the surface as well.
But and what do you think of that suggestion? Because sometimes people push back and say, hold on, that you're putting the onus on the Chloes of this
again,
world to deal with the situation.
But then as an individual has like zero upper body strength, I'm like, it probably isn't a bad idea for me to learn to defend myself. So joking aside, it's not a bad idea for, I suppose, everyone to learn those skills. But I mean, as parents of daughters, the three of us have daughters. Ours are closer to that age of possibly going out than yours are. But I'm like, Jesus, that's like 3-4 years away, four, maybe three. And, you know, I can talk to my daughter, Joan, about everything to do with safety, and stuff might still happen. And it's just terrifying. It is actually terrifying. So I think Chloe's amazing for sharing her story.
What did you think when you watched it last night, the video?
It was actually horrific.
Yeah.
It was really horrific. And it was this doesn't feel like it's the first time this man did this.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, had she already gone to the police before the video came out, or did she go to the guards after that? Like, there should be a manhunt on for this person who appears to be...
As far as I know, they do know who it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see what level of... what law he faces, right, and what the repercussions are. But it was terrifying because, like, the point about the self-defense, obviously basic self-defense, everybody should be taught it, but like it's almost too late. If somebody is there with a belt and puts the belt around your neck, there's not very much that you can do when you're tiny. Yeah. So they're, she's very small, but she couldn't see up to the spy hole in the hotel room, because herself and her mum are both, she said, low 5 feet. So just, and she said they couldn't sleep, like between
they had
2 and 5 o'clock in the morning.
Themselves into the room. Now she did say when she called down to security that night that they, you know, it was the following day that she felt that better action was taken.
Yeah.
So, but it's just, it's terrifying. Like, it's just so scary. And like, whenever I like was out with friends when I was younger, because I don't really go out anymore, was I always like, and all my friends were like laughing, but I'd be like, I wouldn't go to sleep until the very last one had texted me to say they had gone to home. Like, they were in bed and they were safe. Like, because we obviously didn't track each other on phones or anything like that.
Yeah.
I was like, I just need to know. Whereas the others would just like tumble on home and go wake up the next day and go, that was fun. I was like, but so-and-so never told us she got home. So, but like, you know, you have to be sensible, but you should also be able to go out and enjoy yourself.
And the belt off in the elevator, the real sinister thing. Because you
the
imagine.
The whole thing is sinister.
I know the whole thing, but I mean, I assume the point of, I don't know, this is veering into kind of psychology from a distance, psychoanalysis from a remove, but the point of that is to be sinister, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like to visibly take your belt off in front of the person.
Yeah.
So you're not kind of, there's no attempt at subterfuge anymore.
No.
You know what's happening and I know what's happening. There's nothing you can do about it.
To go
There's someone in the room with you. Okay, yeah. That was the one thing you could do, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrifying. Isn't it?
Yeah. And her bedroom was the end of the corridor. So, yeah. Like, he kind of accidentally reaches the end of the corridor while she doubles back. She actually turns around to him and says, are you okay, at one point? And he walks past her, you know, to buy a few seconds. And then she knocks on the door for the mum. And the mum happens to be awake at 2 a.m, probably with a similar, it's going to be all right.
Yeah, I wonder, you know? Where is she?
Yeah. No,
it was horrific. While I was reading about this in the last 24 hours, I don't know if you saw that story about the provost of the University of Limerick talking about another influencer who, Ella Deasy, who published her account this week of being in student residences in Limerick, and a WhatsApp group of 200 men was set up to hassle her. And you just think, this is, I think, we watched Adolescence this week, a week late after everybody else.
Oh, I haven't yet. I actually don't think I can bring myself to do it. And I know you said last week, Alison, you're under a rock. This stuff is happening anyway. But I think, I just want to stay under my rock.
Yeah.
But this.
It's good.
This is.
Yeah. Just good TV.
Yeah.
It was pretty terrifying.
But it was really good TV.
The specifics of it, I think it's the same type of thing, right? It's a WhatsApp group of over 200 young men, and it was used to target her. At 4:30 in the morning, they would chant outside her student accommodation room. They would pelt it with eggs. They would smear the door handles, and eventually she dropped out. Now, I don't know, maybe she had something else that was a reason for her to drop out, but it sounded like she didn't feel particularly safe. And the Chancellor of UL, or the Provost of UL, as a mother of 3 daughters, she says, Professor Anne Ledwith, I'm really dismayed at issues of student safety that I've seen raised on social media. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't...
It's just getting more and more widespread.
But I do want to say it's more terrifying. Adolescence, like, I mean, involves a murder. But, they're kind of real aberrations, an outlier. Like, that's really worrying because it's not like somebody went out of their way to find kind of 200 people who are wired wrong. It just shows there's an element of mob mentality. I'm sure there's young lads in that group who, in every other way, you'd probably think there is a perfectly rational, well-rounded young fella, well brought up, great attitude. And there's just a sense, it just shows how, like, it's very easy for us to say, I'd never act like that. And that actually shows a lot of us probably would. You just get swept along with
this. The whole thing is like, that's the high, like everyone's like, so none of those guys that turned up thought they should report this? Like of the hundreds that turned up, like, so that's again the same mentality going, like even if you aren't active, you're witness to something or have knowledge that you should be acting on.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's actually the whole point of adolescence in a way.
Yeah.
Anyways, is that like it could happen to any of us.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, you'd actually... It doesn't take much for one of your kids to stray off the path and how quick it is to spiral out of control really quickly. And I think these are different cases. I think we really hope that they find that that guy in Dublin.
Sure, who's your winner of the week?
Oh, my winner of the week is from the, you know, very important to the... It's Easter time, right?
It is. Well, it's looming.
buying sneaky Easter eggs for yourself when you know that you're going to be disappointed. Like all the Irish mammies this weekend who have sons, who will be like, oh, what did you get me for Mother's Day? Oh, here's a card I made or bought in the petrol station. I have frequently been disappointed on Easter Sunday when the Easter Bunny does not bring me what I want. Right. I'm just buying it for myself this year. And I wholeheartedly recommend this.
That is pathetic.
So are you the winner?
Pathetic. Yes. Yeah, this is
no,
pathetic.
Last week I was the loser. Yeah,
last week you were the sinner. Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
What would you buy for yourself? What would be your preference?
Yeah. Oh, well, I know I'm not going to get any of the Tony's Chocolonely stuff unless I buy that for myself. Or the lint. Any lint, so long as it has the...
But can you not just leave quite explicit messages for said Easter
bunny? No one pays attention. That's not how it works. your kids are going to be like,
what are you going to get? What do you generally get then?
Well, I just bought a lint for myself and I'm going to also
buy... Are you going to store it?
But it's no. You have it now and you eat it between now and Easter.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Easter's not like one thing. Jesus didn't just die and be born 3 days later.
Did he?
This is...
that is the story.
This is gluttony.
A long 40 days. Yes.
Gluttony.
What's wrong with a bit of gluttony? As the earth... hurtles towards its inevitable conclusion.
Yeah.
I think that it's time.
You think at that last moment, I'd be thinking, why didn't I eat that Tony Chocolonely Easter egg?
I was here last week or 2 weeks ago? I missed one. The trade war is going to be good for us, right? All the champagne that we can't ship off to America.
All the whiskey and...
Yeah.
Well, now we have Amy
and pharmaceuticals.
We're going to be able to drink ourselves,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
That's it. Totally, totally. Alison, what's on the show this weekend?
Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Oh, wow. Yes. Class.
Yeah. So, great story that I'm going to get her to tell again is that she put the Dublin dates on her tour and everyone's like... And she's like, when an artist chooses a location and if it doesn't do well... And it was the first to sell out, so she... seems very excited to be coming here in May. So yeah, so we'll be chatting.
So a former colleague, Ferris, who is now working in RTÉ Radio, and we were, Rebecca Meehan, we were down in the pub in the corner here before it was PMAX, or was it whatever?
Before that,
what
yeah.
Was
before
it before
that,
PMAX?
God, I can't remember. What was it before PMAX? Whatever it was. And it was during the Euros and 2012 Euros?
Yeah.
Yeah. And... when we were in Poland and I made the Murder on Gdansk Floor joke off the top of my head and she took out her phone immediately
put it on Twitter.
In front of me and tweeted it and I'd say she tripled her followers immediately.
Oh.
Just like went viral.
So you have not gotten over it?
No, I'm still not over it. So much so that I'm naming her on Reddit. Yeah, exactly. I was just
like
shameless.
Former colleague
she didn't even try and hide
Tom
it.
Tom Swift who gave...
Well, at least I coughed her name.
...gift grub. He never got over that.
Oh, wow.
Went really well.
Anyway, on that note...
Paid forward, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Who's your sinner of the week?
Oh, my sinner of the week is any Tiger parenting sports coach out there. This is Gert Ingebrigtsen. Yurt.
I was wondering how you'd say that.
I don't know. My Norwegian pronunciation might not be perfect here. But so Jakob Ingebrigtsen is pretty famous. He's won gold at two successive Olympic Games, the delayed one in Japan. And then last year he won the 5,000 in Paris, having not won the 1,500 when everybody expected him to do that.
But what a race.
Had this incredible comeback and he's striking a jawline you can set your watch to, tattoos, earrings, like incredibly striking. One of seven kids.
He's one of the most marketable. Is he one of the most marketable brand in athletics? I'd say
absolutely.
Him and seven Noel Isles, maybe.
And like
maybe Mondo.
Mondo definitely because he has an American accent and
though
he's Swedish, he speaks perfectly. went to college there, but absolutely right. And the documentary that they made about the kids and the family, the Ingebrigtsen family, or the family Ingebrigtsen, was the most watched Norwegian TV show ever, right?
Wow.
So
yeah.
If you kind of try and... There's three older brothers, I think, or certainly two older brothers who are all in the Olympics
There's two older... Henrik is the oldest, who's kind of moved... He's more coaching now. And then there's Philip, who's still running, but it's a bit lost. And then there's Jakob.
They all won 1,500 European outdoor goals. And so you can just imagine how...
It's a high-achieving situation.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like, Norway floats in a bed of oil but doesn't have much when it comes to sport, right?
Yeah.
Like their football team are grand. They've had, obviously now they have the best footballer in the world, but for ages. So you kind of try and understand exactly what they are in the culture. But 3 years ago, there was a split where Jakob announced that the father who had coached them to all this greatness, who was a coach of the year, was no longer going to be coaching them. And now he's on trial this week for domestic abuse charges where... he'll go to prison for 6 years if he's found guilty. Sorry, that's available to the judge. Again, it's Norway. They probably won't send him to jail because they have a more progressive justice system. But he's accused of, so there's six boys and one girl, and the daughter is the second oldest, so she's only 19 now, but when she was 12, he's accused of slapping her on the face. And that would be in keeping with the evidence that we've seen so far this week of a lifetime of physical and emotional manipulation and alleged abuse. It's only at this point, obviously, alleged until he's found guilty.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But tiger parenting in sport, I mean, it seems to be quite a...
Should I stop shouting on the sidelines?
Definitely no shouting.
Yeah, no shouting on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Do you shout on the sidelines?
I'm never there. I'm really sad. I always miss all of her matches because it's always Saturday, Sunday morning. But
yeah.
No, I'm being too embarrassed. I'd be like, go get them, girls. I'm like, is that loud?
Are you a shouter?
No, I'm totally silent.
And are you? Even encouragement?
No, I kind of, because like...
You do kind of, the girls were on the same football team for a while and Jer was very like, I was like, he's lasering in. What's he thinking when you're on the sideline one time?
Like the opposite. I just, because
it's stressful. It can be stressful.
Well, again, there's a bit in adolescence where there's like a misunderstanding of the two. The two of them have this shared experience of a football match.
Sorry, yeah, where the kid is put on goal, yeah.
Yeah. And we've just like have seen people on sidelines and it's generally the opposition, but where mentors are kind of halfway on the pitch.
Yeah.
Shouting at kids what to do. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Get off the pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've all seen that, yeah.
But it's awful because you know, Gjertan Ingebrigtsen slapping his daughter and stuff. I mean, that's kind of extreme end of the scale. It's the kind of slightly abusive stuff when they're shouting at 9 and 10 year olds that I'm like, ugh.
Yeah.
This is like, do you intervene? Do you kind of say, whoa, relax there?
Yeah.
I've had cause to say that on the sideline to coaches, other coaches.
Yeah.
Just relax, will you? Like, calm down. These are kids.
Yeah.
But no one takes that well.
No, they don't. No.
It has the opposite effect of asking somebody, telling
somebody. No, but usually it's...
calm down.
Usually it's one person. And you know what you find? That often the people who are involved with them are as embarrassed by him, because it's most often a him. And when you say it, you'll find that they actually will kind of come in with you. Like, you know, you'll kind of say, Jer, would you just relax there, will you? Like, they're 9 and 10 year olds. And then whoever's with Jer is kind of... Yeah, come on.
A bit of distraction.
Happens and it all kind of counts down. Yeah. But yeah, I know. Not often, but a couple of times. I mean, I can think of one situation in particular. I had a big blitz.
Yeah,
it's just so not necessary.
Oh, it's just mental.
Yeah.
It's just mental.
And yet at the same time, would Tiger Woods be Tiger Woods without, like, look,
Serena? Serena wouldn't be Serena without.
No. There is a good piece today by Johnny Watterson talking about Jelena Jokic and a bunch of others, Steffi Graf, Jennifer Capriati. Yeah. And like I, you know, a little bit of encouragement is no harm. But that whole, I actually don't think it. There is some research apparently that in Holland they have found that your kid performing helps you get over some failure in your own past.
Well, everything's an extension. Like if Joan didn't get invited to a birthday party, I'd be like, why don't people like me? like everything, that's the whole truth. It's like children are, you see.
Brilliant. Better you're not going to the games.
But sorry, isn't the real people you want to worry about though, aren't they, are all the King Richard and Serenas, but who never made it.
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's easy to say, it worked out all right for Tiger and Serena and this person. What are Andre Agassi who hated tennis and hated his dad and had this completely messed up relationship with the sport.
Yeah.
But at least he made a load of money and was really successful. What about all the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of others who had the exact same experience as him and had nothing to show for it at the end?
I know.
You know, that's the overwhelming majority of people who are being screamed at the sideline at an under 10 blitz. Anyway, who's your sinner of the week?
So it's this...
People who buy Easter eggs for themselves. Please say it is.
It's this bizarre thing that's happening online now where people are going, my morning routine. And one guy in particular, Ashton Hall, is like a fitness influencer. Again, he hadn't been on my radar until this week. And I was like, what's this guy doing? So he has like a 5-hour morning routine that starts at 3:30 in the morning.
Haven't seen this, but I've seen someone I did follow put up a thing, my morning routine. It was get out of bed at 2:00. And I was like, what is this about?
And then, so what's worse is all these people, rich and famous, having these routines, is now all these other people are emulating these routines online and going, I actually, the end result is I really hated it. So it's like this, like, I'm like, why is this filling up my timeline? But this guy, Ashton, is, this one video is like his morning routines. It's like 700 million views of this. He starts at 3:30 in the morning. He does like banana peels, two ice dips in his face.
Oh, so that's, what, sorry, I know. Now all the ones I've been watching make sense. Someone was rubbing banana onto their feet.
Oh, yes. Yeah, no, everyone's making fun of him now. Mouth tape is a big thing with influencers now as well. Like, so taping your mouth shut at night, which is yet to be proven that it's of any benefit. And then he has like a hoverboard that he goes over his pool for a while, which is obviously like working on his core muscles. Some more meditation. And at 9:30, he's finally done his morning routine. So it's unrealistic for most of us, obviously.
Slightly, yeah.
But what's more annoying is all of this ridiculousness. So,
what time does he go to bed?
I don't know. I didn't delve into that. Yeah. Kris Kardashian, people are copying her morning routine as well, and they're discovering they hate it. So it's like, it's just pointless. Again, it's the worst of humanity again online. Like, it's just pointless.
Sure, what's your morning routine?
Desperately try and make
When do you rub the banana in? And where?
Mash it in my mouth.
I've got an eating problem.
Yeah.
Rubbing it into your cheek.
Your ice dip, face dip.
Mark Wahlberg had one of these, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was a few years ago. Yeah. Marky Mark had a mental one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's shitposting, right? It's on purpose.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
There was some crypto link, was there?
Oh, no, there was a water. Oh, yeah, I think there was, but there was like water brands everywhere.
Right,
obviously.
Okay.
Yeah.
It works, right?
Just have water. Here's the thing, though. Information. I had to get a mouth guard a few weeks ago, and that is
to sleep.
Yeah, and everyone I've been telling this to is like, "You're only getting it now." And I'm like, "Oh, sorry."
So what? To straighten your teeth?
No, I because I'm so stressed all the time. As most.
Oh, you're grinding.
Yeah, I had to get two teeth fixed, and they gave me a mouth guard. I'm like, "It's so awful. Like, it's super unsexy, and it's just really uncomfortable."
Do you know when you pull it out, and you get
no!
As my friend calls them, the spit worms. You know, they kind of drail from it.
People might be making their hair stop.
And then you suck them in, you go.
No.
Tasty.
But you guys don't have it then, because everyone else has.
He obviously does.
Yeah, no. Well, I had like the Invisalign. Yeah, but it's the same. The spit worms are the same. They don't differentiate. They don't discriminate.
I was like kind of shamed by my friends going, "Yeah, sure, you're only getting your mouth guard now."
Why
like
did they? What?
I guess it's a thing that middle-aged people do to protect her.
Yeah, Jer doesn't have time. He's mashing bananas into his face at 3 a.m, 4:00 a.m. Listen, on that note, we'll take a very quick break. We'll be back with the last bit of the show.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Yes, Ger Gilroy and Alison Curtis back with me, still with me rather, for the last bit of the show. Alison, happy Mother's Day in advance.
Thank you.
How are you going to mark it?
Well, it didn't start off well when Joan went. Has that not already happened? last year.
Did we not have that last year?
I mean,
it
does come around every year.
It does every bloody year. Do you know what's weird, though? Is Father's Day is the exact same day in Canada, but Mother's Day is May. So I still, even though I've had half my life in Ireland, I'm like, oh, it's now? Like, it keeps creeping up on me. I don't know what I'm going to be doing. I'll be working. But what I could say as advice for people,
okay,
and you touched on this at the beginning, Jer, like, just get moms what they want. Like, so you know your mother. Don't get them, like, maybe some people want chocolates and flowers and stuff. Maybe people want a bottle of something or a vinyl record or tickets to a gig or whatever. Not all moms are the Irish mammies. Like, get them what they like.
I think my wife wants to bring my daughter to hockey while I go for a cycle.
No, I don't think so. And, like, the sleeping in thing, that's all nice and stuff. But I would say this, and I know, again, our daughters are older. But I still want, I'd like Joan to make me a card, like put some thought into it. And, you know, I would give advice to people saying, just make nice cards, put a little thought into it, because you will keep it and it will mean a lot more. But get them what they want. Like some people, as I say, do want the flowers and chocolates. That's lovely. But if you're more of a vinyl person or a gig person, food. I love food. I think it's obvious. So get me like something really nice I wouldn't normally like buy myself, like artisan food place. Like that,
steak.
I would love that.
Truffles.
No.
Yeah, exactly. I heard you say something
voucher.
I wouldn't usually buy myself. I couldn't think of anything better. A big bloody steak.
A restaurant voucher. I would love that. That's
okay.
What I would love.
Now, hope you're listening. Jer, you want to talk about pig liver, I understand.
Headline
wrap things up.
Headline in the paper, pig liver transplanted into human for first time. I'm like, what? Okay. And then it had this, which is maybe one of the best lines ever committed to print. Chinese scientists implanted a genetically modified pig liver into the body of a brain dead patient where it survived for 10 days.
Wow. There's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to unpack right from that sentence.
The next sentence was, it would have survived longer, they thought, except the family decided that they didn't want this mutant pig liver in their dead relative.
You know, sometimes you need, in a country like China, they can get things done.
Yeah. Oh,
exactly.
God.
So that's what we need. We'd have committees talking about it for months on end.
Or not. Instead of just no committees.
Putting pig liver into the brain dead bodies of patients without their family's consent.
No committees formed because of the speaking rights problem.
No, that's it. This was we had our window to put pig liver into dead brain dead people.
We missed our window.
Does this type of stuff excite you, though? The idea that... You know, because you famously have told us you don't take your heart medication. So when your heart fails, you're going to get a pig's one.
Well, sorry. Now you've made it relevant to me. I might be. Yeah. Okay. I'll take a pig heart.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. All right. On that hopeful note, Ger Gilroy from Off the Ball, Alison Curtis, Weekend Breakfast on Today FM. Thank you both. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the big bloody steak.
Yay.
On Mother's Day, Alison. And I will talk to you on Monday at 4.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.